You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter Harmony Montgomery from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Courtroom coverage continues now.
Counsel, approach for just a minute. Please be seated. I give you a draft instruction.
Satisfactory, Judge.
Okay, satisfactory to the state?
It is, Your Honor.
Counsel, approach. Jurors all ready? All right, we're ready. Yes. All rise for the jurors, please. Please be seated. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I just have a preliminary matter I want to address with you. The court is aware that posters and other items related to this case have been placed in areas around the courthouse. I remind you that your verdict in this case must be based exclusively on the evidence that is presented in this case. That includes evidence presented during the trial and what you saw on The View. Just as you were instructed, that you could not consider any television, newspaper, online, or other coverage of this case, you may not use or consider any information that may be posted or found outside the courthouse, other than on The View, in coming to your verdict. Attorney Smith, does the defense wish to present any evidence?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the defense has now rested, so it is time for closing arguments. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Thank you.
Wake up, baby girl. Baby girl, wake up. Those were the words that Kayla used to describe how Adam approached his child when he discovered that she was dead. Kayla used words that were the truth sometimes to fill in her lies. Baby girl, wake up. Those words were from a real memory of how Adam was speaking when he discovered his daughter looking peacefully asleep would never wake up again. Wake up, baby girl. But she didn't. Those words were the truth surrounded by Kayla's lie. Adam is no innocent. Shortly after he discovered that his baby girl would not wake up again, he began a series of decisions, terrible and criminal decisions. He made them with a very misguided belief that he had to make them to keep his family from being ripped apart. And he made those decisions with the input and influence of his wife, Kayla. He did make those choices, and you will hold him accountable for those choices. He and Kayla hid, moved, lied, and manipulated Harmony's body after her death. It's unforgivable. They lied about her whereabouts after her death, and it's unforgivable. But he did not do this to hide that he killed Harmony, because he did not kill Harmony. He did this because he believed it would keep his family together. He did not witness tamper with Kayla. She was an instigator and equal partner. He did not influence her, she influenced him. And most importantly, he did not kill his daughter. He did not kill his baby girl. When Kayla was facing charges not related to Harmony's death, theft, and two charges of receiving stolen property, charges that could send her to prison for over a decade. And then, by her own actions, she was facing two more charges for perjury, for lying about Harmony's death. And she was subject to two more felonies. These felonies, 3.5 to 7 each, potential, stacked in prison. 3.5 to 7 plus 3.5 to 7 plus receiving stolen property times 2 plus theft. So Kayla decided to lie about Harmony's death, to accuse Adam of something that he did not do, to get herself out of her own problems. And what better way than to pick an accusation that had already been made? Adam was already arrested and in jail for an allegation of striking Harmony, a tale that he had struck her and given her black eyes. That became the groundwork for Kayla's own lies. She had to lie because the truth would point to her. And her lies were accepted because Adam had already been accused of causing Kayla black eyes. Her lie was easily accepted. Until you look past the horror of what she has said and past the emotion that would be the reaction when you heard her say it. When you look with a critical eye at those lies, you're going to see that they're lies intertwined with truth. Wake up, baby girl. The allegation that Adam beat his child for days and then on December 7th for hours is crazy. And I'm going to briefly go over that and the craziness of it as it got worse and worse with the telling. She told you a horrific story of Adam screaming and yelling and beating Harmony because when they woke up to go to the clinic, she had peed in the car. Screaming and yelling at the Colonial Village at an hour that people might be going to work for rush hour, at a time that they should not have been there and they were essentially squatting and not wanting to be noticed. Screaming and yelling and punching her in the head. And then they got to the methadone clinic, which was about 10 minutes away, at around 7 o'clock in the morning. Kayla got her dose at 7:04 when the clinic was open for people to get their doses. Her horrific story continued with Adam beating Harmony, she says, when he got out of the clinic, he at 7:09. She said he smelled urine and said, "Again, Harmony, why don't you tell us?" And he began yelling and hitting her right in the head right there in front of the clinic. And you know that one time that they had done something wrong outside the clinic, they got told on. One time, she told you, they had left the kids in the car and gone into the clinic together with no one watching the kids, and they got told on. And they had to change their habit and go in one at a time so that somebody would always be out with the children. That would have been noticed outside the clinic at 7 a.m. when people are going in for their doses. She continued that horrific tale because she said, after witnessing these beatings, she said, "I'm hungry. Let's go to Burger King." And Adam drove to Burger King. And on the way, she said Harmony was crying a lot and making a weird noise. And Adam got really angry and kept punching her and said, "Shut the fuck up." and that he hit her at the traffic lights. Two, maybe three traffic lights, she said, coming over the seat and pummeling her in the back. Not in secret, not hidden, broad daylight on a busy street with busy traffic stopped at a stoplight. And then she said she put up an arm to stop him. She doesn't mention any effort to try and stop those horrific acts beforehand. No effort on her part. But somehow or other at this point, she thinks this is enough and puts her arm up. And what does she say he does? He gives her a look, a crazy look, like evil. It's the first time she had seen that. And she felt like he might hit her. So she didn't do anything. He scared her, she said. And then as he's punching her, she says, driving into the Burger King parking lot, and you were there, wide open parking lot, says that he's punching her and says, I felt something different. I think I really hurt her this time. She said he was scared. So what does he do when he's scared? He drives up, he orders the food that Kayla wanted. She was hungry. So he ordered a croissant, three, she said, one for Adam, one for Kayla, and one for Harmony, she said, and some hash browns. He drove up, paid the cashier, either got his card or the cash back, whatever. Reached in as the cashier is handing him the food, takes the money, hands it to her, and drives away. He was scared, she said. And this is what he does, she says. Her story is crazy. And what were the boys doing? When this is happening to her sister over and over again, or they might have been sleeping. No, they were not screaming as they drove up to the cashier to get the food. They might have been sleeping, she doesn't remember. They didn't react much, they were quiet, they didn't cry much. She continues on at the Colonial Village. She thinks at first, maybe they ate at the Burger King, but with more questioning, nope, yep, she was refreshed. They went back to the Colonial Village, and she decided to feed the kids. And she said that she took a little bit out of a little piece off of the food, and she fed Declan. She said Declan was the middle. She would have to put the food in his mouth, but no, she didn't look back. She just sort of reached back and put it in his mouth. And she took another piece and she would give Seamus also. She didn't have to look. She didn't look back. She didn't see anything back there. And then Harmony's croissant, she just sort of put it back there for Harmony, she said. Didn't look back. She was scared to look back. And then also with that, because she remembered clearly, she didn't have to look back for Declan because he was in the middle and she could just reach right there and put it into his mouth without looking. But then she was reminded that Seamus's car seat was in the middle. Seamus had been in the middle of that accident that was on the 29th, and she had previously said that Seamus was in the middle when she talked to the police and that Harmony was leaning against her brother. And that Harmony had a blanket on her lap and that she put a piece of croissant for Harmony on that blanket. She didn't remember this. She made this up. She made it up from feeding the kids when they did go to Burger King. She made it up with some sense of reality, we would go to Burger King and we'd go back and I'd feed him and I'd give him pieces in the back. But she had to intersperse her lies to show that she would not have known the condition that Harmony was in. She then goes to Mr. Bordero, to get some drugs. She didn't remember that she was the one that went up, but she was refreshed. She was shown her previous transcript. She not only told the police she went up to buy drugs, but the reason that she went up was that Tony might front her the money because he'd never said no to her. She remembered it at one point, but tried to deny it here. And she claimed that they didn't stay long, and they went, she didn't know where, somewhere. We had to do something, I don't remember what. And when they left, they got to an intersection, and the car broke down, and that's when they discovered Harmony was dead. In the middle of that broken down in that intersection. Wake up, baby girl. Baby girl, wake up. This horrific story, and they didn't know until that intersection. That story is crazy. But then her story even got worse. When I started questioning her about some of those little facts, and you remembered how she would respond to me, think about Kayla. As you think about what she said, think about watching her testify. I brought out that she had originally said that Adam had struck Harmony 10 to 15 times at 2 to 3 a.m. in the morning. She said, yeah, that was true. That's when it started. Okay. And then he woke up to go to the clinic and Harmony peed again? No. He made her sit. Oh, she didn't remember if it was peeing or pooping. Sorry to use that word, but I'm just not going to use a different one. She couldn't remember which it was, but he made her sit in it all night, she said. And then did she pee again when you woke up to go to the clinic? Yes, she said. Then when I asked her about that, had somebody cleaned up the offensive poop or pee from 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning? No, it just smelled of urine when we woke up, she said. She also said that when they were going to the clinic, Harmony didn't have any injuries that she knew of. But beating 10 to 15 times, 2 to 3 in the morning, and no sign? No. That was a lie. It cannot happen. It could not be. And it makes no sense. It doesn't, because it's a lie. All that horror, all that chaos at the intersection, oh my God. What could be worse? It's an absolute nightmare. You have done something to a child over and over again for hours, and you get stuck in the intersection, and somehow or other, you've got to make sure that nobody sees that child. Wake up, baby girl. Baby girl, wake up. The description, well, I'll get to the description of the intersection later. No, I won't. What she described at that intersection was that Adam said, went to Kayla, wake up, baby girl. Baby girl, wake up. Put his hand on her heart, and she came over, checked the neck, checked her pulse, and then at some point somebody is waving cars around, sometimes her, sometimes Adam, she says. She's not seeking help. She's not seeking assistance. She's not doing anything but grabbing the children and grabbing the clothes, while Adam grabs a duffel bag from the trunk filled with clothes and puts her in the bag filled with clothes from the trunk. When I asked about that, she said, the trunk was actually locked already, but it didn't open. So we had to go through that little hole when you take that center down in the back of a car and you can reach through, you can put your skis through. She said, we went through that and pulled out the duffel bag. That's how we got it. That would be over Harmony's body in a busy intersection, taking off a car seat and taking a child or two out of the car and reaching in and getting a duffel bag full of clothes and pulling it through that little area. There's a reason why she made up that story, and I'll get to it in a little bit. But let me talk to you about waving cars around and not asking for help. Kayla was admittedly part of the cover-up, but she wasn't covering up to save a man who beat a child in a cold, continuous, torturous, escalating over days beating. If that had been going on, Kayla would have instinctually protected that child. By all accounts, Harmony was a loving, lovely child. Instinct would have caused you to protect that child, even if you were given an evil look. And even if you were afraid at some point when you had the opportunity, it's not only a child in the car, it's not only your stepchild. There are two of your children in the car, exposed to an absolute horror that no one would allow their children to be held for. She didn't go to, when she went to Vadero, she didn't ask for help. She didn't ask for call 911. When they were at that intersection, she didn't collapse with, oh my God, it's up, finally. She's waving cars around, she's cool, she's calm, she's getting the kids out. Why? Because that wasn't when Harmony died. In that intersection, Harmony was already dead, and a plan had already been set for what to do. They had talked for hours before that intersection. They knew what they were going to do. And that car breaking down at that intersection certainly put a ruined those plans. But Harmony was already in the trunk. She was already wrapped and in the trunk. And they were going somewhere to take care of what to do with her body. And that is why Adam was able to go into the trunk and grab the duffel bag and walk away without anybody at that intersection seeing Harmony's body, seeing Harmony sitting, lying, being maneuvered around in the car. Because she wasn't. She was in the trunk. Kayla was able to keep her cool because they had been discussing this for hours, what they were going to do. And this problem at the intersection, we can get over it. Keep your cool, she said. Adam said, what do we do? And she said, let's go to Vadero's. And they grabbed what they could, and they went to Vadero's. Not only if that had occurred, would she have instinctually protected Harmony and her children when she could. Any love that she had for Adam would have died. No one can maintain love for a man who would do something like that over and over again in front of your kids, in front of you, and give you that evil look that made you feel threatened. There are reasons that women stand by their men, but not for that. No one would stand by for that. Why did Kayla stand by Adam? Because that never happened. Adam was not a threat to her because of Harmony's death. Adam was her protector. Wake up, baby girl. True memory that Adam spoke when he unexpectedly discovered that Harmony was unnaturally appearing to be asleep. He didn't even know she was dead. Wake up, baby girl. And she never woke again. I'm going to review with you more of Kayla's lies and some of her reluctant truths that I was able to pull out of her and other of the real evidence. But before I do that, I want you to keep something common sense in the forefront as you evaluate it. I don't think anyone but they can understand the decisions that they made to hide and lie about Harmony's death. But I want you to consider which is more likely, that a mother of her own children and a caretaker by all accounts, a loving and joyful girl she is taking care of, would stand by and protect a man who brutally beat time and time again in front of her and her own children, that beautiful child? Or would a father who failed in his responsibility to care for that beautiful child, would he stand by his wife because he did not know how Harmony died? Kayla and Adam's relationship struggled on after Harmony's death. But till the end, Kayla appeared to put Harmony's death behind her. She just wanted her man. Adam, however, lost his grip several times. After he and Kayla prepared Harmony's body to finally dispose of it, to wash off decomposition and debris in the shower and put her in another bag, he tried to commit suicide. Kayla held him together. "You've got to be here for me and the kids." She held him together, but he lost it several more times. He would have bouts of paranoia, think Kayla was trying to poison him, think that there were cameras. He was losing it several times after that. Thought she was cheating. Lashed out on her. Punched her a couple of times. And then in March of 2021, St. Patrick's Day, she recalled, he had another bout of paranoia. And he did this. Why do we have this picture of Kayla with black eyes? Because Kayla took this picture, this selfie, and she sent it to her family. This was something she would not tolerate. "He did this to me." Adam was arrested. Adam went to jail. She got a restraining order. She moved. No. She was not an isolated and dependent woman. She wasn't trapped. She had friends. She had family. She was connected to services. Tara, her friend, helped her out of the apartment to a safe place. Adam was arrested. She filed the restraining order. It showed in her actions when Adam, in one of those fits of paranoia, lashed out at her. She was not going to tolerate this. She told you, was her own woman. Adam's behavior did not control her. And by the way, Tara Hilbert, the one that told you that Adam gave her the lie about Harmony that Kayla and Adam had developed, said Harmony was with her mother. She also told you that that came up in the context of a conversation where he was missing Harmony. Rebecca Maines didn't say he hated Harmony because she reminded him of her mother, Crystal. He was missing Harmony. He was feeling bad. And he moved on quickly when she said, well, where is Harmony? And he said, oh, she's with her mother. And the conversation moved on. He had worked 4 years visiting Harmony, 4 years to get her. He knew who Harmony was. He wanted Harmony in his home where he lived, in his grandmother's home where he lived with his grandmother and other uncles and other family members. He wanted her a part of his home. For Kayla, there's no indication she even thought about Harmony until this investigation became public. She wanted Adam and she didn't want anyone else. She was not relieved when Adam was out of her life. She was not haunted by memories of a brutal assault to an innocent child. She was not haunted by those memories because those memories didn't exist. Her story was a lie. There are no haunting images except for the ones that might be in your head based on what she has said. But those images do not exist in reality. He had not done that. She told you that after he was in rehab in the summer of 2021, they communicated about getting back together, but then Adam was cheating on her then, and she wasn't happy. Thing, she called Kelsey. She wanted Adam back. She was not haunted. But Adam, in the fall, was out of her life. He was in Maine with Kelsey and her relatives. When the investigation opened up and the police tried to come and talk to her, did she say, I'm so sorry. Let me tell you what happened to Harmony. It was terrible. I've held it inside, but it's time you know the truth. Adam is a brute. No, she said, Adam. She calls Adam. She knows where he is. Get back here. I'm not dealing with this alone. Because they were partners in this conspiracy. Get back here. And he came. But he came with his girlfriend, much to Kayla's chagrin. You know, one thing that was odd now, she didn't rely on the police to protect her. She said Adam threatened her that if she ever told on him, he would have Kevin kill her. Kevin, you met Kevin, the uncle. The uncle that Adam and he were not particularly getting along with because he had failed to pay some bills he had promised to pay and put them in pretty dire straits. The uncle that after a visit and that argument, about a week later, calls DCYF, the authorities on him. That uncle that you met was no threat to Kayla. That was another lie that she told to try and figure out why, give a reason why she would not have come forward before. She was afraid. I want to talk about another lie that you watched developed. The fuel grinder. What's that all about? Why was that such a big deal here? The fuel grinder. Well, I'm going to remind you how that developed to be an issue in this case. And it did develop over time. You heard that when Kayla first started giving her police her story to the police, she was talking about the shower, what happened at Union Avenue, and she was asked, well, were tools used? And she said, no, only the scissors. She had cut off the hoodie. Adam had taken the leggings, and they put Harmony in the shower. She didn't see or know of any tools. And then on questioning, she sort of saw where it was going, and she said, well, When he came out of the bathroom, he wanted to put her in pieces, but couldn't do it. About 8 months later, when she was asked about Adam using tools again, now this 8 months from the couple of June conversations in 2021, she gets her deal. She has obligations under that deal. She has to keep cooperating or it could all fall apart. 8 months later, they want to talk to her some more. She's in prison. She's brought out to them. And they have pictures of tools. I assume that their picture was the same size as these, but they had this picture of the fuel grinder. They had a picture of a circular saw, and they had, did I do it backwards? Yes. A picture of a circular saw, and a picture of the miter saw. And they asked her about it. And they said, any tools used? And she said, not that I know of. And then they said, they showed her this picture of the grinder. And she said, I had never seen that. I never seen it. They showed her this and she did not recognize it as anything that she had ever seen before. They showed her the circular saw and she said, that looks the most like an old tool that Adam had under the counter in a big box. Looks most like it. Miter saw, no, that wasn't it. This looked most like it. And then you learned that she went in March to talk to them. No, after that March thing, she's going to talk to the state to prepare for her testimony here in front of you. She had three of those sessions. They were very long sessions. And they brought a picture. This picture. They brought this picture to that meeting, this picture of a tool that she had never seen before. They brought it to that meeting. And we don't have recordings of that meeting, but she came out of that meeting having given a story of, well, when we were at her mother's house in December, he was interested in his mother's fuel grinder. She had just bought one. It was still in the box. And he saw that, and she recognized this tool as the tool on the box. And she said Adam was holding it and said this would be a good tool to use to help get rid of the body. This is December, 2 months ago, that she said this. After almost a year before, she said, I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen that. Question first, why would you bring that? Oh, and you don't have to rely on Kayla's word that that was the photo, because eventually from Detective Rahill, we did get out that the third photograph at that March interview where she said, I didn't see that. It wasn't actually identified in the interview, but they had taken this photograph for the purpose of seeing about that Home Depot purchase. Do you remember the Home Depot purchase? The police were following up on Lime and looking at Lime purchases from Home Depot, and they discovered a purchase of Lime, the fuel grinder, an extra battery, an extra blade. They wanted to connect that to Adam because it was right around the time that there was a call for service at the shower. That would be evidence that you put together that could prove something. So they want to make that connection. And Detective Rahill said, we specifically brought this photograph to see if you could identify it to make that connection for us, because they had found that out maybe 6 months before. She didn't make that connection for them, but they didn't give up. So they brought that photograph, not the police, this was during her prep session. That photograph was brought to the prep session, and she understood this was important. And there was no truth about this other than she had never seen it before, but she made up a story about Adam wanting to take it from her mother. That story has so many levels for you to understand, Kayla. Oh, and one more thing about that. I asked her, why didn't you tell anybody before 2 months ago about Adam wanting to steal or take your mother's fuel grinder? Why did you wait 2 years to say this, or a year, whatever? And she said, nobody asked me. She also said, I think in that story, that NutriBlender would have been good too. I asked Detective Rahill about whether she was asked about that, and sure enough, as the transcript showed, do you remember him buying anything or stealing anything or any other types of tools like power tools or anything? And she said no. She was asked about other tools. Then you heard from her mother, the supposed owner of that fuel grinder. Nope, never had a fuel grinder. I have plenty of tools. I do some woodworking stuff. I know fuel grinder. I never had a fuel grinder. I never bought this. Certainly didn't have a new box with a fuel grinder in it at all. Independent verification that her story was a lie. But it also illustrates something really important. One, she can gauge what seems to be important to the police or to the state, and she can create a lie to try and give them something that they seem to be looking for. She doesn't understand its importance, but if they're gonna show her this thing again after she said she never saw it, it must be important. And especially with, and I don't know if it was all blown up for her when she signed it. The other thing it shows you is that she would make up a lie to put the man she says is her best friend most of the time, to put him in that bad of a light, that in December he's contemplating stealing her mother's power tool, her mother's fuel grinder, contemplating what he can do with it to Harmony's body. Evil, deranged. That is what it says about the story that she can make up to put him in that bad of a light. Was she capable of making up the lie that Adam brutally beat his daughter to death? Yes. Watching that lie unfold tells you, yes, she is capable, and she did do it. Talk about the lime. You put lime on your lawn, you learned, to raise the pH. A lawn where rain happens, dogs play, children play, people play. That is not something that you use to dissolve a body, to make a body decompose. Where she got the lime from, I don't know. Maybe she mistook something that she heard on a crime show. I have no idea. But lime to decompose a body, nobody has told you that it would do that. And in fact, you learn that it was used to bring pH up on your lawn. And you learn that it wasn't an unusual purchase in the wintertime, because Home Depot had sold lime 33 purchases, I think, within that two-month period, and we're not even going to other stores to look and see how many things of lime stole. I don't know where this lime thing came from. What they did was take Harmony's decomposing body that had been decomposing for 2 months, take her clothes off, put her in the tub, ran the water, and those fluids from decomposition flowed out. Other debris from decomposition flowed out. And it did stop up the drain. But it wasn't lime, and it wasn't dismemberment. And even Kayla says she didn't see any sign of dismemberment. She saw Adam take Harmony's body and put it in these great big trash bags filled with lime. We heard how big the bathroom was. That was a lie. Now, let's look about the lies she told about Harmony being hidden from view the whole time in the car, because she said the beating happened almost right away. From the time, and I confirmed it, you're saying from the time of eviction to the time that Harmony died, you're saying that she was beaten all the time, yep, hidden the whole time, yep, and you pretty much stayed at Colonial Village the whole time without moving, yep. And then you learn. And she said we did this so that we could hide Harmony's black eyes and bruises. Whenever anybody would come around, we would put a blanket over her. Nobody saw her. So then you learn that Harmony was not hidden. Harmony was not hidden from the Garcias. You heard Courtney Garcia. They had met up with the Montgomerys. They had given the Montgomerys food. They knew the Montgomerys were living in the car. And Courtney told you, we offered to let them stay overnight at our place. And Adam was interested. Kayla was not. Do you remember that? Kayla was not. Adam was interested. Adam was not hiding Harmony from view. Harmony wasn't hidden from Christina Lubin. Kayla's mom testified. Kayla had admitted that she went to her mom's the day after Thanksgiving, and she went there to see if her mom could put him up, and her mom couldn't because of the landlord. And eventually I was able to pull out that she was there. While she was there, she got cleaned up. She cleaned up the kids, they ate, they caught up with each other. Christina told you that she was catching up with her grandchildren, even her step-grandchildren, that she remembered sitting on the couch interacting with Harmony. She was a lovely child, kind of quiet, polite, but she looked healthy. And she noticed Harmony. She noticed her hair in pigtails. She noticed what she was wearing and the glasses, and she interacted with Harmony. There were no black eyes. There were no bruises. Harmony looked good. Harmony wasn't hidden from Tabitha Scott on December 29. Tabitha Scott, you remember, the police officer said was in the car during the accident on December 29. She was in the front passenger seat while Kayla was in the back with three kids, two car seats. And so that when the police officer came, they threw a blanket over Harmony to hide Harmony. Why? Because of black and blue and bruises? No, because they went to Christina Lubin's after that. There were no black and blue. There were no black eyes. They hid Harmony because they had too many kids in the car and Harmony was not restrained and they had just gotten in an accident. Maybe people overlook it, but not when you've just had an accident and your child is unrestrained. She wasn't hidden from Tabitha Scott that day. So that's 2 to 3 days after they've been living in the car now. And then another 3 days later, December 2nd, she wasn't hidden then. They were in an accident around the clinic. I think it was around the clinic. Anyway, that same officer responded to that accident and also noted again who was in the car. This time it was only Kayla and Adam in the car. Harmony was not hidden from whoever babysat her. Kayla couldn't remember, couldn't tell you. But it could have been Tabitha, it could have been her mother. She didn't remember, but whoever that babysitter was, Harmony was not hidden from that babysitter. And Harmony wasn't hidden from Anthony Badaro. Anthony Badaro didn't particularly want them there. But she said that Anthony walked out every day and Harmony would wave to him. Where did she say this? She said this to the grand jury. She was in the midst of a lie to the grand jury, telling them Harmony on the 30th had gone to her mother's. Adam took her to her mother's. She's lying to the grand jury. She doesn't want to admit anything that is the truth about Harmony once they were evicted. And she sort of slipped. And she said, yeah, well, Anthony Badaro, Harmony would wave to him every morning for those 2 weeks into December. And then nobody seemed to catch that that was actually different from the lie that she was telling. Just moved on, and she continued on her lie. And she admitted to you, when I asked, yep, that was a slip, and yes, that was the truth. No need to lie about that to the grand jury, because you didn't want to bring that out in the first place. Then I talked about one of the issues that did come up a lot in the car. 10 days from the time that they were evicted to the time that Harmony was discovered dead. 10 days. And she tried to make it seem like 24/7 they were in that car. 24/7 Harmony was hidden. 24/7 they ate. She would change diapers and they would stay at the Colonial Village. They didn't do anything. Then I started asking more questions. Do you remember that? Well, you changed the babies. The baby and your toddler, they were both still in diapers. You'd change them and you'd wipe them. But to get them really clean, you would take them to a public restroom or something to wipe them down and clean them up with soap and water. Nope. Nope. Didn't happen. Well, they were in diapers. You needed diapers. You're in there for 10 days. You had to have bought diapers. Went to Walmart, the mall? Nope. Well, where did you get your diapers? Gas station, convenience store. Think about the prices at a gas station's convenience store. That's not where they were getting their diapers, your wipes, your extra food. They wouldn't go far, she kept saying. Well, did you clean up the kids at all? Nope. Cleaned them in the car with wipes. Okay, so you didn't go to the bathroom in the car. Where did you go to the bathroom? Okay, that was a problem for her. And you went to the bathroom when you went to Burger King. Yep. And you'd go to Burger King a few times. Yep. And you'd go to the bathroom when you went to gas stations or something to pick up your food and stuff. Yep. And you'd go to the bathroom at Badaro's because you were right there at the Colonial, right? Yeah. And you said that Harmony didn't always go with you. That means that Harmony went with you sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And you'd ask her when you went to the bathroom, do you want to go with me, right?
Right.
So she went to Padero's with you too, right?
Yeah. Sometimes. Not all the time. She went in the car a lot.
Okay. With work, with prodding, you learn a different story. Harmony is out there. She is not hidden from public. Why does she want to make her? Why does she want to make this story look like that they were 24/7 in a car? Well, you learned why she was working so hard to make that appear. You learned from the state's question that she was aware of opening statement and talked about it with her lawyer. And she said she used the information to prepare her answers to you, because the truth pointed to her. That is why she did it. And she knew that these answers were coming and what they would mean. I mean, these questions were coming and what they would mean. So she decided to present a tale of never alone with the kids 24/7 at Colonial. But that tale fell apart as well. Mr. Padero was another person who was caught lying to the grand jury. And he told you he didn't want anything to do with this investigation. He did not want to admit that he had been selling drugs, and he did not want to be part of this investigation at all. He said that no, Harmony never waved to him. He never went down to the car. And then he would get turned around and stuff, and he would tell a different tale, and he said, well, I went down to the car, but not to sell drugs, and maybe I'd wave at the boys, but I didn't see no girl. I didn't see no girl. Okay, what was going on there? Padero, in November 22nd, had just been convicted of another offense involving a drug. One of his prior offenses was distribution, and he also got driving without a license. Shortly before, another conviction. He had used Adam as a driver, and Adam had used his car back in September, I think. And he did that because he was going to court, and he certainly didn't want to be driving a car without a license going to court. So he needed a ride. Adam drove in the Sebring, and he brought all the kids with him. And he and Padero and the kids were in the car, and I think somebody else. And we go to, after the conviction, he's no less afraid of being caught driving his car without a license, what it might lead to. So he's still in need of a driver. Adam just can't use his Sebring. The family is living in the Sebring. And he said, yeah, Adam drove me in my car sometimes. I don't know how many times. It could have been just once. Reducing the amount. But Adam was a driver. Why would he not be driving? He's right there. He's got nothing else to do. He's in need of money. They want drugs. Of course, Adam was driving Padero during that time.
More continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter, Harmony Montgomery, is on the way. Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.